The sufferings and glory of Jesus Christ for believers. Spiritual perfection is possible through obedience to Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer wrote, Hebrews 5:8-9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. The ministry of suffering is one of the most essential elements of the true Christian Church of Jesus Christ. Humanity looks for the presence of God in spectacular ministries and gathering of crowds. However, we should learn about the rejected ministry of suffering with Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:6-7, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In deity and power, he was equal with God because he was human and divine. However, being human, his highest aspiration was to bring us to God and make us in his spiritual likeness and image as he did at the beginning. God said, Genesis 1:26-27, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Jesus made it clear, and declared, St. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and Christ is a spirit. Jesus is alive and is the human element of the Son of God. That is why he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Jesus Christ is human and God in the flesh. The angel said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, St. Luke 1:30-33, and, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus did not have a biological father. The Spirit of God miraculously begot him. Joseph cared for Jesus like a protective natural father. St. Luke 2:46-50, and it came to pass, that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them, and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. God the Father told Jesus to leave his mother and father and go to the temple to ask the doctors of the law of Moses questions, and answer their questions. St. John 14:8-11, Philip saith unto him, "Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Let us observe his suffering in St. Luke the 22nd chapter to see the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Luke 22:44, and being in an agony he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus was in psychological and physical agony in the Mount of Olives, because he knew that his hour was approaching to suffer and die for the believers of all times. The angel of the Lord ministered to him, preparing him to suffer and die for our sins. This is the fulfilling of Isaiah's prophetic message in which he prophesied concerning the enemies of Jesus. They were sinners who despised and hated him for all the good he had done for humanity. Isaiah 53:3-5, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God's highest standard for cleansing sin from sinners was always death of a lamb of the first year. Exodus 12:5, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep, or from the goats. A lamb without blemish is a life without sin. Only Jesus Christ exemplified a life without sin. St. John 1:29, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. St. Luke 22:45, And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Some of Jesus' disciples are spiritually sleeping for sorrow. They have failed him in the ministry of suffering because they are not concerned about his ministry of saving souls. Verse 40, And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Today you may ask why we have to suffer, although we are free from our sins. However, God, in his infinite wisdom, chose the root of suffering to perfect us in holiness. God declared that Job was a perfect man in his time. Job 2:3, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him, to destroy him without cause. We look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and see what the preacher Solomon said about suffering. At that time, he was the wisest man on earth. Yet, he had his share of suffering. These are the words of the preacher, Ecclesiastes 7:3, Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. Solomon wrote that suffering makes us a better person for God because it purges and cleanses our hearts from evil. Verse 4, The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Solomon recognized that only wise-hearted people appreciate divine suffering for purity above the pleasures of sin. He said, Proverbs 20:30, The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. He understood that God wounds us to wash away the filth that lies in our heart and our spirit. This is the testimony of Paul after he was born again. He relinquished the Pharisees' religion and became a Christian. 2 Corinthians 11:26, In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. None of those perils occurred while he was a Pharisee. The world loves its own. Let us look in the book of Malachi. God inspired him to write about the purpose of suffering. Malachi 3:2-3, But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth, for he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The prophet Malachi wondered, who would continue to serve God when he appears with afflictions, trials, and persecutions. He understood that suffering purifies the soul and purges the heart of unclean thoughts and imaginations. The manifold sufferings of God perfect the saints of God. God declared to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 48:10, Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. God does not purge the people of the world from sin. They cannot comprehend the benefits of enduring the sufferings of God. Many people will not stand with Jesus when he appears with sufferings. Only those redeemed by Christ will earnestly pray and seek God in the midst of agony and pain. Allow me to reiterate, St. Luke 22:44, And being in an agony he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus did not reject the Father's will to suffer, neither should we. He humbled himself. Likewise, we should submit to the divine will of God. Verse 42, Nevertheless not my will, but thine, be done. Let us observe what Paul said about the sufferings of the children of God. Romans 8:17-18, And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let us also hear what Apostle Peter said about suffering for Christ. 1 Peter 4:1-2, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Verses 18-19, And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Verse 13, But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 16, Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. 1 Peter 5:6-7, Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Timothy 2:12, If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Hebrews 12:4, Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. All of these scriptures bear witness to the truth that God has appointed a measurement of suffering for all of his children. Although we may be suffering at this present time for Christ's sake, yet we have not made the ultimate sacrifice for the salvation of souls. Let us observe the spectacular ministry of Jesus. He miraculously fed a great multitude of men and women with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. St. John 6:11-12, And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Most ministers admire that ministry. Feeding the multitude is a spiritual metaphor. To feed the multitude spiritually is to teach men and women the Word of God. However, Jesus suffered to have power to reign over humanity. Suffering is also the spiritual fragments of the Word. Jesus declared, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verses 14-15, Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Jesus did not seek for humanity to exalt him. His sole desire was to fulfill the will of God. His miracles astonished them. They determined to exalt him to be their king, because he had power to create miracles and feed the masses without them laboring for it. That is why Jesus departed from them and prayed unto God. He would not allow humanity to exalt him. God exalted him above all humanity and everything he created in heaven and on earth, because he was the Messiah and Savior of the world. Jesus understood that miracles did not perfect his ministry. We are not perfect because we are able to preach a good sermon. We are perfect when we are obedient to the Word of God and endure the sufferings appointed to us in behalf of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus warned the people for seeking him merely because they ate of the loaves, and were filled. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves, and were filled. That is the reason why there are many ungodly ministers. They are not preaching because they have a burden for souls, but because the people are feeding them. Jesus said, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Jesus instructed ministers not to labor merely for material things, but for the souls of humanity to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will save them from sin. They asked Jesus in verses 28 to 29, then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. He fully consecrated himself for the work of God because of his sufferings. He instructed the people to be partakers of his sufferings and believe his words. Verse 54, Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus illustrated the need for them to take upon themselves the life he lived. Subsequently, God would spiritually resurrect us through suffering and perfect us for eternal life. The following scriptures illustrate that many of Jesus' disciples turned back and would not accept the ministry of suffering for the salvation of their souls. Verses 60-61, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? Many of the people of God today become offended because the Lord has appointed them sufferings to endure. Verses 66-67, From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Jesus never compromised his word of truth to satisfy the masses. He is concerned about the few dedicated and consecrated followers who desire spiritual perfection, because it is the power of life. Verses 68-71, Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Judas was a devil, and devils do not repent and believe the gospel. Peter had no doubt that Jesus had power to give eternal life to all who accept his gospel of spiritual perfection. Jesus said to his disciples, St. Matthew 5:48, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.